At last, the tax cut tease is over. The full details on full display. Yes, this week the Coalition unveiled its very first budget. And it was as promised, almost exactly as promised.
It is a budget for difficult times.
This is a government borrowing to pay for tax cuts.
For some it was budget day, but for the rest of us it was activation day.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCulloch aho, ane te pūrongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. The budget's headline was only ever going to be cuts, tax cuts and spending cuts, and both arrived with few surprises.
This year's budget is the clean-up job New Zealand needs.
The tax package unveiled by the Finance Minister Nicola Willis looks much the same as the so-called back pocket boost campaigned on by National before last year's election. The only difference is a slight delay, with most changes kicking in from the end of July, not the start. The key plank of the package is an adjustment to the tax brackets, but it also comes with an expansion to several tax credits. Other aspects of the package had been announced well in advance, a childcare payment for some families, and a sort of tax break for landlords in the form of interest deductibility. In all, it means the support a person receives will look very different depending on their circumstances.
The budget material contains various scenarios. For example, a couple earning an average household income of $125,000 a year will benefit by up to $102 a fortnight. Mr. Speaker, if they have four or more children, four is a good number of children to have. They could actually get slightly more than that, as they would still be eligible for Working for Families. And if they have children in early childhood education, they could get up to $150 a fortnight from Family Boost. Mr. Speaker, these have always been up to examples. People's individual and family circumstances differ widely, so I encourage people to look at the tax calculator on the budget website and enter their details.
The numbers do indeed differ widely. Treasury suggests about 730,000 households will get at least $75 a fortnight. About 190,000 will get at least $100. About 19,000 will get at least $200. And fewer than 3,000 households will get that $250 figure, much publicised before the election. Beneficiaries don't get a dime, while a pensioner can look forward to a fortnightly fillip of just $4.
It's nice to know I can get an extra cup of coffee per week as an old age pensioner.
And every little step in the right direction helps. You know, if you've got a little bit extra, it's better than not having it at all.
I think they've missed the mark on that one. This government is not doing what they said they were going to do from the start.
It's better than nothing, isn't it, I suppose, but it's probably not going to make that much of a difference to a lot of people, especially pensioners.
That'd be a positive impact. I mean, I've got a child in daycare, so, you know, all those costs add up.
I think anything that puts more money back into New Zealand families' pockets now, because they are doing it hard.
The total cost of the tax package comes to the not insignificant sum of $14.7 billion over 4 years. Keen observers might note that the government has also increased borrowing by about $12 billion over that same period. Those same observers might conclude then that if the government had dropped its tax package, and may therefore not have had to increase borrowing.
We had the choice to break our promise to New Zealanders, and we chose not to do that.
Nicola Willis rejects the claims that she has borrowed for the tax cuts. Rather, she says they have been funded through a deliberate savings drive across the public sector, hence all the stories of late about job cuts. In total, the effort has recouped about $23 billion over 4 years. That wasteful spending, she says, has been redirected into tax relief.
We're weaning off. We are a government that has inherited a bloated state, and we are gradually bringing it back to order.
Some of the cuts will be new to New Zealanders. The Symphony Orchestra has had its funding shaved, as has the Human Rights Commission. The Warmer Kiwi Homes subsidy scheme is also being scaled back. But other cuts or savings have been well signalled. Prescriptions will no longer be free for most people, with the return of the $5 fee, except for children under 14, pensioners and those with community services cards. Labor's public transport subsidies were axed late last year, and the first year fees free scheme for tertiary students has been reconfigured to instead cover the final year of study.
Ministers and their departments have gone line by line through the spending areas they are responsible for. And this scrutiny has resulted in more than 240 savings initiatives.
The savings, again about $23 billion over 4 years, have been used to pay for the tax package, with the rest funnelled back to the front line. The government has increased funding for health, for education and for law and order, with two-thirds of the new spending going to those three areas.
The biggest part of this budget in dollar terms is not, in fact, tax relief. It is actually investment in public services. And I am proud to tell the House that this budget increases funding for hospitals and it increases funding for primary care. This budget increases funding for schools. And this budget increases funding for law and order to keep our communities safe.
Even in those poor portfolios, though, there are signs of strain on the public purse. The police have been warned they must make further cuts to improve fiscal sustainability. And the biggest broken promise of this budget can be found in health. National had pledged to give PharmEC an extra $70 million a year over 4 years in ring-fenced funding for 13 specific cancer treatments.
We regret that it hasn't been possible in this budget. There are significant challenges with the policy of increasing access to cancer drugs because it poses a fundamental change to the PharmEC model, in which traditionally PharmEC selects the medicines that it funds. Regardless, our government is committed to delivering on this policy through future budgets. Dr. Shane Retty, David Seymour are working on it, and those cancer patients will see more drugs funded in future.
But those are just words. Vicky Hudson-Craig is more concerned with actions. She has melanoma that has spread to her heart in response to two of the 13 promised medicines.
It was such a clear promise to have that hope just wiped away. Just devastating.
The tight times across the public service are set only to continue, with Nicola Willis mapping out a precarious road for her next two budgets. The number to look for is the operating allowance, which is the pool of money set aside each year to fund new initiatives or the increased cost of existing ones. Labor had intended this year's to be $3.5 billion. Nicola Willis has set it at $3.2 billion, the lowest since 2018. But not for long. Next year it will be $2.4 billion, and the year after that. In Treasury's words, that is tight. Its officials estimate those allowances won't even cover the regular inflation and wage pressures, and that will pose a challenge for the coalition, as spelled out here by Brad Olson, the principal economist at Infometrics.
There's very, very little, if not any, real money for new initiatives in future budgets. Any new initiatives then would have to be paid for by savings from other initiatives not continuing. So the fact that we've just gone through a period of cutbacks and reprioritisations, that's not the end of that process, it's only merely the start. And I think looking at those figures, it's going to be difficult for the government to figure out what new spending it wants every budget. There won't be many additions coming through each and every year.
The coalition is also relying on the economy bouncing back, inflation coming back under control, and the tax take gradually ticking back up, making its job easier.
It is about enhancing productivity growth, New Zealanders' incomes, making it easier for people to invest, getting rid of red tape, bringing in fast-track consenting so we can get nation-building projects away, ensuring that we're educating our people better so that they have the skills to contribute to a wealthier economy. So actually, one of the biggest things we can do is drive growth. That's what will make those figures better in the future.
The opposition has labelled this a budget with misplaced priorities, putting tax cuts ahead of public services, putting landlords ahead of first home buyers, and putting promises ahead of prudence.
$10 billion worth of tax cuts, $12 billion worth of borrowing. You don't need an abacus to figure out that this is a government borrowing to pay for tax cuts.
Today, the coalition government showed us their true colours. It's a mean and nasty budget. That's what it is. They had the choice to be bold and invest in our people and our planet, but instead, they have actively undermined our collective ability to support each other and restore Papatua Anuku.
It is a budget for difficult times. It is a budget under pressure, and I got to tell you, under pressure makes diamonds.
Who in this house, in their right mind, in a cost of living crisis, would oppose tax reduction for working people?
Te Pāti Māori, meanwhile, has zeroed in on the lack of targeted funding for Māori in the budget, having encouraged tens of thousands of people to mark the day with protest, holding hīkoi up and down the country. The Māori Party used the occasion to declare its difference, announcing an intention to set up an independent Māori parliament, one defined by tikanga and tino rangatiratanga.
For some it was budget day, but for the rest of us it was activation day. I'm not here to talk about the budget, because what budget? There's nothing in it for us. The word Māori is not even mentioned once in this budget, within health, education and police.
We are organising. We are empowering. Ourselves, we are rising. Like a good rewana bread. We are bred different. We are bred different, but we are rising.
Little surprise, the cause found little favour with the coalition. New Zealand First and ACT both bit back.
Today, the Māori Party organised a protest in Parliament forecourt and then didn't even turn up in this house to find out what was in the budget. No, they didn't turn up to find out what was in this budget. An unprecedented, and if you're the defender, they're stuffed. If you're their protector, you're the advocate, you're the defender, they haven't got a hope in Hades.
We're a Te Pāti Māori. We talk about work. They did it. They actually forgot to vote against the white people's budget. The white people's budget that is brought about by a cabinet of 20 that has 8 Māori members. Kia ora Nicole McKee, kia ora Winston Peters, kia ora Shane, kia ora Casey Costello, kia ora Shane Reti, kia ora Tama Poltaka. Our cabinet, our government is, oh, and called David Seymour Aho, our government is 40% Māori, twice as much as the rest.
For the final word on the budget, here's RNZ's political editor Jo Moyer, giving her analysis on Morning Report the day after the budget's reveal.
I think Nicola Willis will be happy with how this budget has landed. You know, she said that she was going to deliver tax cuts, and there was a lot of back and forth in the lead up to budget day as to whether they would need to change, especially given the criticism that was coming from a lot of economists. She kept very tight-lipped about whether anything was going to need to change as a result of money moving around and savings and reprioritisation, and whether they'd found revenue streams, especially because they lost one, obviously, and the coalition talks with New Zealand First around the foreign and foreign buyers tax there. So, look, she has managed to find the money. Obviously, we can talk about the mythical island that Giles has just mentioned about how it's been paid for, but she will be happy that she's been able to ring fence it, which is how she is selling it to people. And it has landed as she wrote it, basically, in the National Party fiscal plan in the election campaign. And obviously, the other talking points leading up to this budget were that they were going to concentrate on health, education, law and order spending. That is where you saw the money in the budget yesterday, a pretty big boost there for health, and interestingly that baked in pre-committed money for health into the future as well, $1.4 billion into those next three budgets. So, you know, there's rhetoric around whether that's just going to be enough to keep the lights on or not, but certainly they delivered what they said they would.
Yeah, and because of that, there isn't, you know, there weren't any big surprises. The sticking points, sort of from what we are hearing and the feedback we're getting, and the $2.9 billion for landlords and these cancer drugs seem to be two of the hurdles yeah. they've fallen on in terms of selling that.
Oh, I mean, if you want to play the optics game, which, you know, we love to do, in terms of the new cancer drugs not being funded and that really surprise move with the first home grants being scrapped the other week, they're the two that people will go, well, hang on a second, one of those you actually said you were going to deliver it and is now a broken promise in terms of the new cancer drugs, and the other, the first home grants, well, on the campaign trail, Chris Christopher Luxon said that they were safe, and of course they weren't. So those were probably the two biggest optics problem areas, and I think they will continue to be a problem. And these operating balances of 2.4 billion, 1.4 of which has already been allocated to health. So we're talking about, you know, $1 billion to play with in future budgets, which is next to nothing. You have to keep in mind that the government has already made decisions and prioritised things like the interest deductibility changes, the you know, the tax cuts for landlords, and money has gone to other places because of decisions they have made.
Nicola Willis has sought to brand her debut budget in a variety of ways. A fulfilled promise, a clean-up job, and most recently, the Goldilocks budget. Not too much, not too little, just right. Some tax relief, some spending, some savings. The risk is that in trying to keep everyone happy, no winners. Nicola Willis kept her promise, but will voters thank her for it? It's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining me. Matua.